Well, if you're happy that you're saved, can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. It's good to see you tonight. Thank you so much for coming. By the way, I want to thank you, the church, for the kindness and the love you showed to Glenda Slaymaker this morning. Glenda's in need of your prayers. She no doubt is listening tonight as well, but Glenda's very, very sick with cancer, and it doesn't look good for her, but she's just trusting the Lord. And she told me the other day, she said, Pastor, it doesn't matter. Whatever God wants is fine. If he wants to take me home, that's fine. I'm ready for heaven. Isn't that wonderful? I can be ready for heaven, so can you. Amen. That's a wonderful thought. But if he leaves me here, I want to do something for him. I want to do some more work for my God. So I appreciate that. Also, Brother Mrs. Barry contacted us this afternoon and said that they took off to their daughter's place. Their daughter is expecting, and it looks like it's a breech birth at this point. So they're probably in surgery and have been this afternoon. And so the Berries are asking that we pray for their daughter and the baby that's being born. So let's do that right now. Father, we love you. We approach your throne with thanksgiving. We thank you so much for who you are and what you mean to us. And Lord, we know you're our Savior, and you're also a great healer, a tremendous redeemer. Lord, we so thank you for all that you do. But we bring Mrs. Berry's daughter to your attention. And that little baby, would you help them tonight? Let everything go well, and I pray that everything will be fine. Father, please, in your wonderful name, we ask all this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I have a question. I have no idea what this is in the pulpit for. I didn't see it this morning, but I see it now. So I guess, I'm guessing. Woo! Whoa! Do I look somewhat better like this? One thing is, I can't see my notes. You know, this would be pretty neat to be this tall. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if I'm supposed to stand on that or stand on the step here or go down to my old self. I don't know. That's funny that that's sitting in there, because this morning I went back home and had lunch, and then I looked at the sermon that I preached this morning, and I said, man, you look awful short. That's what I said about myself. So I come tonight, and here's a stool for me to stand. Yeah, things work together. I don't know. Anybody know what that stool's here for? It's for me, huh? Okay, dokie. God's point of view, perspective, his point of view. Romans chapter 12, we read that already. You know, let me just give you a thought. When you utilize the moments you have alone by taking God's word and renewing your mind, you then become the person to whom God can reveal his heart. Now, I want you to think about that thought one more time. Everybody, think about this. When I am alone, and when I utilize the moments I have by myself, and I take God's word, and I let the word of God renew my mind, I then can become that person that God can reveal his heart. Wow, that's a powerful thought. This morning I mentioned hurricanes. But hurricanes forever changed the direction of countless of thousands of people's lives all across this country. And I got to thinking, just as a hurricane possesses the ability to change the force of the sea, when we are alone with God and His power has the ability to change the force, the direction, and the flow of our lives for years to come. Oh, if we could get our Christian people so involved in the Word of God to where we are alone with God, and as we are alone with God, the Word of God begins to speak with us, and suddenly He reveals to us the very heart of God, and we draw ever near the cross, and we become so close to the Lord Jesus. But the devil's so smart, isn't he? Because he knows we must allow the Holy Spirit's power to work in us, not only so we can be blessed, but that we can bless other people who are around us. You know, God's power has a way of changing us, and it'll change how you feel about your spouse if you let God's power change you. It'll change how you feel about your children if you let God's power change you, about your life as a whole. You will not give your life from a human perspective. You'll begin to see your life from God's perspective, God's dynamic. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, just to start in verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think it's back there, right, Don? Do you have it there? Yeah, 5:16. Wherefore, now look at this verse. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. When you begin to see from God's point of view, it won't be from human flesh. You'll have a divine view of the things of God. You know, we need to see ourselves not as we were, but as we are today in Christ Jesus. Jesus sees us differently once we've gotten saved. What indeed does the Bible say about us after we get saved? What does the Bible say about you and me? It says that we're not the same. In fact, the Bible says, after we get saved, is this not true? We are a new creature in Christ. And so, since we've gotten saved, since we've been born again, how does God see us? He does not see us as that guy who used to cuss or swear or lose his temper or drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes or chew tobacco. God doesn't see us like that. He sees us as a new creature in Christ. And behold, all things have become new. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. That's how God, my God, sees us. Oh, what a thought. God, let me have your perspective. Let me have your divine insight. Let me see, dear God, as you see me. How does God see you? He sees you as a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Turn with me to Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 13. Your old life is dead. According to that verse, is that verse being quoted correctly? For ye are dead. God sees you as being dead now, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Wow. He is now your life. Jesus sees us as a new creature. My old life is dead. I have a new life, which is your real life. Even though it's invisible to spectators, That new life is Christ in you. And he has made you somebody special. I'm saved, born again, new creature. Start looking at yourself as God sees you. I got to thinking about that. And I have a transition statement I want to give you real quickly. It says this. In order to move into the future, and we're getting ready to move into the future for another year here in just about a month, a little over than a month. It'll be January the 1st, 2022. I always like this time of year because I'm thinking about what I did the past year and how many times I messed up and how many times I've had success and victories and I want to change and do something right for God. And you're about the same. You know, I don't make New Year's resolutions, never have, never will. What I want to do is become a better Christian. I want to become a better liver for God. Come on, amen. I want to know more of his word. I want to know more of his spirit. I want to know more of his power. I want to get closer to him. And so I examine myself about this time it starts. And I want to become somebody that I haven't been in Christ. And so the transition is in order to move into the future, we must not allow our minds to be trapped in the past. If I'm going to move in the future, I cannot allow my mind to be trapped in the past. Roman numeral number one, I want you to write it down. Don't let your past determine your future. Can I get a hearty amen right there? Don't let your past, do not let your past determine your future. Most of us are probably ashamed of our past. Some of us were real rascals, weren't we? Come on, just admit it. We were rascals. We did things we shouldn't do. We acted ways we shouldn't have acted. We talked ways we shouldn't have talked. But don't let that past determine your future. I want you to write down for A, change. Just write down the word change. Change. Go now to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Let me help you with this just a bit. Because this really describes our life. For ye were sometimes darkness. Is that correct? Is the Bible right? For ye were sometimes darkness? I mean, I have met people who say, you know, I've been saved all my life. You have? No, you were in darkness at one time in your life. We are all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Everybody has had some darkness in their life. We've all been separated from God. We weren't born all of a sudden saved at birth. Because of Adam's sin, we're all in sin, right? Yes, we are. For we were sometimes darkness, but now, what's it say now about you? Hey, listen, can I see your hands? How many of you would say, I am saved and born again and know it and proud of it? Can I see your hand? I'm saved, born. That's just about everybody in the building. I know I'm saved. I know it. So he says, if you're saved, I am now, ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, what did Paul declare? Paul declared this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Do you see this? Forgetting those things which are behind. You can't change the past. Forget those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Wow, of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing toward the mark. I want to get better and better towards God. I don't want to stay status quo. I want to grow. I want to develop. I want to have more this coming year than I had last year. I want God to help me. And I'm not going to let my past determine my future. You know, in Scripture, God says, keep going. Continue on, eagerly pursue, cultivate, and be consistent and constant striving. you know, the person God uses lives as Paul did, with a sense of purpose, saying, I've got my eye on the goal. Where God is, I'm striving to get to that goal. This person attunes his mind to God's way of thinking. He obeys God's scriptures. He obeys the directives from the scriptures, such as keep going, keep on. Some of the old timers used to say, I just want to keep on keeping on. Amen. They get up and testify in church years ago when I was a kid at home. I'd hear those older Christians get up, Brother Belcher, and say, man, I just want to keep on keeping on. Amen. That's a good thing to be. I want to strive for the mastery. I want to just keep going. Don't ever stop, ladies and gentlemen. Don't ever stop. You got to keep striving for the mastery. So the first thing is, we're not going to allow our past to determine my future. Number two, or letter B, negative thinking or negative thoughts. Negative thoughts become strongholds at the evil in our lives. Saying things like, don't say stuff like this. Well, that's just who I am. I act that way because that's just the way I am. Well, quit being the way you am. I get so tired of hearing folks talk like that. That's just the way I am. Everybody says, accept me just like that. No, we don't. I don't accept that stuff. That's not godly walk. Some people say, well, I'm an angry person. Well, quit being angry. Come on, amen. I just have a temper. Well, bravo. So do I. Except mine's controlled. Now, I didn't used to be. Those are tough days. How many of you have ever had a temper? Oh, don't be afraid, Pat. Raise that hand up high. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Hey, we got a temper. Yeah. Yeah. You ever showed your temper? You ever say as a Christian, oh, well, so what? That's the way it is. I have a temper. No, as a Christian, you say, I'm going to change that. Amen. Well, it's just the way I talk. Well, quit talking like that. Come on, amen. Get God's perspective. Get God's thinking on how we live our lives. There's too many Christians acting any way they want to act, drinking whatever they want to drink, going wherever they ever want to go, and say, that's just the way I am. That's not a biblical Christian. A biblical Christian is disciplined. He walks the walk. You saw it on the screen, didn't you? Walk as children of the light. You're not in darkness anymore. Our teenagers need to hear this. Our young couples need to hear this. Everybody needs to hear this. We need to walk as children of the light. Forget negative thoughts. That was what we did last year. We're not going to do that this year. What about negative behavior? Letter C. Statistics actually prove that 80% of the people who molest children will commit the act repeatedly over and over and over. That's what repeatedly means, over and over and over and over. Right? Now, catching them does not change their behavior. Just catching somebody who molests a child is not going to change his behavior. But I will tell you this, Jesus Christ can change a person's behavior. And by the way, he is the only one who can change somebody's behavior, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to have somebody changing behavior. And that needs to be done by God himself. Letter D, connect with God. I haven't connected with God last year. Last five years I haven't, but you need to start connecting today. Jesus told us to deny ourselves, did he not? Did not Jesus say deny yourself? Did he not say take up your cross? Did he not say follow me? Yes, he did. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. By connecting with the Lord, we can reprogram our mind. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it tells us that Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness to pray. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm a smart enough man to look at the scriptures, and if Jesus needed to do that, I'm telling you right now, I need to do that. What? Get alone with God. Everybody in this room, we're missing the boat. We're so active and so busy and doing so many things. Very few of us spend time alone with God. Jesus knew it was important to spend time alone with God. What'd that verse say? Get that verse back up there one more time, Don, if you will, please. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness to do what? To pray. Talk to God. Alone. Alone was where Jesus connected with God. Alone was where Jesus built and fortified his life so that he stayed connected with the Father. We have TV and radio and Christian radio and youth activity and church activity and church service and this and that. And we don't spend any time. If I would ask every single one of us, how much time are we spending with God by ourselves with nothing on? I don't have to have a radio on, a record player, a CD. Brother, all I need to do is get down by myself and start talking to God, thinking about who I am and how I've messed up. God, I'm a mess. I need some help. Do you ever say that about yourself? Or are you like the Pharisees? I don't need any help. I'm in good shape. Brethren, we're all sinners saved by grace. Connect with God. Letter E, confront fear. The way to deal with fear is to face it head on. In order to confront it, you must target fear as an enemy. Hunt it down. Find your fear. Deal with it. Knock it out. How's that done, preacher? The key is to take the scriptures and combat the harassing thoughts of fear, anxiety, and worry with the precious word of God. Take the word of God. Like a soldier preparing for war, you must put on the armor of God and fight. Although the battle is the Lord's, and we all know that to be true, the battle is the Lord's, but we must take the stones of God's word and hurl them with the sling of God's grace to strike down the Goliath of fear in our lives. And there's nothing wrong with that, taking the stone of the word of God and the grace and hurling that at the devil and saying, you take that. You take that one, and you conquer your fear. Well, Pastor, last year I've been so afraid because of this virus, and get rid of the fear. We can't live for God under fear like that. Frustration, always down in the mouth. God wants us to still be happy, on top. Talking about the great things of God, answers to prayer, fulfillment. The old devil's got us hoodwinked, doesn't he? We're afraid. And honestly, we're letting our past determine our future. My first point is simply this: don't let your past determine your future. Don't let it. Confront fear. Strike down Goliath. What does it mean to put on the whole armor? When the scripture says to put on our spiritual armor, it implies a readiness for battle. We must decide to fight if we desire to win. Now, you can't win a battle if you don't fight. One part of our armor is truth. Another part is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, enabling us to rebuke the devil with God's word. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 17, gives us the entire picture of the armor. Describes our armor and commands us to put it on to face our daily battles with the enemy. Let me give you this next transition statement. It's this. The day must come when you stop imitating the voice around you and start being your own voice for following God. So Roman numeral number 2, write it down, please. Stop being a mimic and start being a voice. Stop being a mimic and start being a voice. Surrendering to God's word only happens when we decide to become alone internally, as Jesus did, with the expectation that we will connect with God amid all the chaos that often besieges us in this life. After I surrender to God, everything in my life centers on that decision to be transformed by the renewing of my mind will continue as long as I continue myself in this book. Will you continue to mimic the world, or will you embrace God's thoughts? Am I going to mimic the world, or am I going to embrace God's thoughts? I've got to embrace His thoughts. Refuse to allow the status quo to mold your personality, your priorities, the direction of your life. Allow God to forge your character through time alone with the Word. The more we spend time absorbing this book, the more we'll find ourselves being more like Him. Because how you think will become your behavior. Your behavior is how you think. Just think about that. Refuse to allow the status quo to mold your life. Replace old habits and feelings with the Word of God. God's truth will literally set you free as your old life is transformed. Sin's hold in our lives can be broken. And we tell people that, and then we still have trouble ourselves. Can sin's power be broken, yes or no? Yes, it can. How's that done? Through the Word of God. Getting God's perspective or getting God's thoughts and living by God's thoughts is so important. So A was surrendering to God's word. B is refuse to allow the status quo. C is replace old habits and feelings. And letter D is the voice of yesterday. The voice of yesterday. I get to thinking about all these things. Replacing old habits and feelings with the Word of God. God's truth will set me free. The voice of yesterday. You see, everybody in this room is either a prisoner of your past or a pioneer of your future. I'm either a prisoner of my past. I mean, come on, I have the same fight you do. Well, but last year I felt this way. And just last week, I failed again. Last week I got upset again about something stupid. And all of a sudden, we're letting our past ruin our future. Come on. And we're mimicking the world. Now, maybe you're trying to quit your cussing. I hope you do. That's a good thing. I hope if you are nipping a little bit, that you stop your nipping. That's drinking. That's nipping. That's what I was always told it was. I don't know. Come on, amen. God needs to help us, doesn't he? Do these need to be broken? Yes, they do. Don't let the voice of yesterday talk to us. Be a pioneer for the future. How long are we going to allow our past to prevent us from doing what the Lord calls us to do in the future? You know, some of us have had all kinds of problems in life, and we know about some of those problems, and we don't think we're fit to be candidates for anything much because the old devil's got us hoodwinked. When God forgives you, he forgives you, and he sets you free. Amen? And you are a new creature now. So the voice of yesterday will keep talking. But there is nothing in the past. There is no future in the person's past. Have you always done everything right? I'm not sure what I'm seeing in all these faces, but you know, I'll be honest, I've not done everything right. I'm a miserable flop. And I know it. I've, over the years, lost my temper, said things I shouldn't have said, acted ways I shouldn't have acted, done things I shouldn't have done, eaten way too many sweets. Sure hope my wife has a cake tonight after church. She won't. It won't happen. Margaret, you have to make me another chocolate cake, okay? We've all messed up. Amen. Now we're trying to get God's thinking on things. We're never going to be any better if we don't sit down and start reasoning, how can I become better for God? How can I do life better? How can I become stronger? I'm trying to help us tonight. But there's nothing in the past, folks. There's nothing there. There's nothing for you to embrace or hold on to in the past. There's nothing for you to celebrate in the past. You can't do anything about what's in the past. It's all behind you. Let it go. How many of you, be honest with me now, are a little disappointed with some of the stuff in your past? My hand's high. I'm just a little disappointed. Now, if the devil could, he'd keep everybody's mind thinking about your past. So you couldn't do anything. But what is God going to do? He's going to wipe all that past out. Woo! That's a wonderful miracle of grace. God is going to wipe out my past. Yes, God's going to wipe out your past, give you a clean slate, and now you're going to do something for God. Well, our problem is we don't come to the altars enough and just kneel and say, God, I need some help. I need some help. God, I'm not what I ought to be. And sometimes I fake it through, but I need to do it right. Amen? Don't be a mimic of the world. No. Start being a voice. You see, God does not give me the right to allow my past to keep me from pioneering the future. He desires something for me, something for my family. I can't be thinking constantly about my past. Instead of listening to the voice of yesterday, we need to confess some scriptures. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 19. Look at this verse. I love this verse. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. Now God's talking to us, and he said, I've set before you life and death. Are you listening? Are you following? Blessing and cursing. Therefore, now here's our part. Therefore, what am I to do? Choose what? Life. Hey, it tells you it's so easy. God said, I've got something before you now. I have a little record against you. But I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, I want you to choose life. Say it real loud and clear. Come on. Folks at home need to hear it. I said all this before you now, and I want you to choose
life.
I want you to choose life. Now, there's more to it, though, that both thou and thy seed may live. Woo! Hey, I want you to choose life, mom and dad, grandma, grandfather, grandmother, grandfather. I want you to choose life so that not only you, but all of your kids can have life too.
Amen.
Wow. I got to start thinking the way God thinks. Our thinking is so little. It is so held back. And so we have children who don't live right. We have family members who don't live right. But God said, choose life. Come on, choose life. And then I focus on Philippians chapter 3, and you know that verse. I've already quoted it, 13 and 14. Let's look at it one more time, though. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. What do I need to do, everybody? I need to forget those things which are behind. That's the past. Forget those things. It tells you right here. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. There's something I have. We're not finished yet. There's something I have. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, we've got a lot of things done. And oh, bless God, the whole place will be paid off financially by the end of the year. Isn't that wonderful? We've accomplished so much over the years. Thank God for the accomplishment. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's still more. We're not done. Boy, if we could just get everybody to see that. My next transition statement, going to my last point, number three. Do you keep God's word at the center of your thoughts? Your behavior will reveal whether or not you have been transformed by God's word. Your behavior is going to be seen if you have really been transformed by God's word. We say, God's word transforms your life. It does. But you must yield to God's power. And your behavior will reveal whether or not you have been transformed by God's word. So Roman numeral number three. Make God's word the basis for your thoughts. Make God's word the basis for your thoughts. Write this one down. Please, I think this is really good. Behavior reveals our hearts. You know, we may dress real nice. We may look pretty good. We may even have good manners and speak nice words. But especially under pressure, our behavior reveals who we really are. I remember, and I don't think she meant it to be nasty to me, because my wife loves me. I don't think it was meant to be nasty. I don't. We were trying to do something one time. Lynette can probably remember this too, I think, because she was there. I can't remember what the whole thing was about. But anyway, my wife says, oh, honey, you just don't know how to handle pressure. I pastored 300-400 people. What are you talking about? I know how to handle pressure. And she said something about, what was she saying, Lynette? You remember? Oh, that's it. Yeah. What was the emergency anyway? Do you remember?
I think we were riding bikes and something fell. We were in poison ivy or something.
Okay. That's what it was. She said, honey, you just don't know how to handle emergencies. Okie dokie. Ask the Lord to search your heart. That's the next little thing, letter B. Ask the Lord to search your heart. Go to Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. When you're alone with the Lord, ask the Lord to search your heart. As he reveals the sin in your life, humbly bow and repent of that sin and meditate on the word. He will reveal it. Let's look at that. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Wow. The next word I want you to write, letter C, is change. In order to transform your life, you must first be willing to change your mind. And when you change your mind, you will change your life. And it will change your behavior. Last point, Roman numeral 4. Ask yourself some revealing questions. Now we're going to put on the screen Philippians 4, 7. What ungodly habits have I created in my life lately? Have you done any of that? What kind of habits have I created in my life? The promise of the word of God is powerful here. Maybe we ought to repeat this promise until we actually believe it. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Can you say it with me? And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. Let that happen. Letter B, do I lose my temper frequently? What should I meditate on? Let me help you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. What's it say? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Quote it back to God over and over again. Am I a critical person? By the way, we ought to watch how we talk. Let nothing be foul from our mouth. Let nothing be dirty come out of our mouth. Say only what helps. Each word is literally a gift. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29. Write it down. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Wow. Hey, fellas, can you put up there 432? You know, we like to golf. There's a bunch of us in this room that like to golf. Even Brother Ralph Hohenstein back there, he loves to golf, and we like to golf together, and Brother Mott loves to golf. And Brother Mott always has a saying he likes, especially when we're getting at each other about, well, that was a lousy shot, or you think you're going to beat me today? You're not. You know, all that kind of stuff. Bill Brown and Brother Mott and myself. And then there's Jerry Schoenfeld thrown in there and different ones. And Brother Mott will use this verse of, and be ye kind. He'll say, fellas, remember Ephesians 4:32. I said, what's that, preacher? Can you quote it? Oh, yeah, I can quote it. And he quotes it. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Okay, Brother Mott, don't ever say another word then. He'll laugh and say, Ephesians 4:32. We had such a good time just talking about the word. It's okay. Am I a critical person? Am I critical? Watch how you talk. Do I hold grudges? Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. What to say? Do I hold grudges? We're not to hold grudges. Christians aren't. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Think like he thinks. Am I ungrateful? Corinthians 3:15. I think it's Corinthians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Create a spirit about yourself of thankfulness. Well, I'm finished. As you meditate on the Word of God, it will soon change the pattern of your thinking. And your way of thinking will change the way you act. No matter what your wrongful habits or behaviors might be, the Word of God is for instruction. It's for reproving. It's for correction. It's for instruction in righteousness. Go to that verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Just jot it down. You'll see what I'm talking about. All Scripture is given for inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Wow, we need that, don't we? And as we carry on, as we continue to build the church for the Lord Jesus Christ, we must have not humanity's way of thinking. Ladies and gentlemen, humanity's way of thinking is way off of center. The world's way of thinking is not anywhere near what the Scripture teaches. It's nowhere near. Oh, how we need to get back to the book and think with our minds the way God wants us to think. Instead of aimlessly agreeing with every little idle thought that enters our minds, we can use the moments that we have alone with the Lord to direct our thoughts so we can please God and glorify Him. And His perspective, His way of thinking, will soon belong to you and me. And when we get ready to come to church, we'll come to church with a smile on our face. Bless God, we've been with the Lord, and we've been studying the Word, and we've got the Word hidden in our hearts, and we've been singing songs at home, by the way, and wow, it's good. I'm ready to have church. Come on, let's sing, everybody. And all of a sudden, you're ready to sing and magnify the Lord. And then others will be drawn to that kind of thing because the world is very sad. The world is very sick. The world is disjointed. They need a place like this that's happy. A place that can sing, a place that can preach. A place where God's power is. Musicians are coming. I want you to turn to two settings of Scripture. They don't have it back there, but Isaiah chapter 6. Would you go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1? Just real quickly, everybody, turn your Bible. And then Jeremiah chapter 1. I want to find out something here. Alone with God, I think, is so vital and so important. But instead of aimlessly agreeing with every idle thought that enters your mind, you can use those moments alone with God to direct your thoughts to please God and glorify Him. Then you'll start thinking like He thinks, acting like He acts. In Isaiah, for example, chapter 6, what does it say? In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And remember that story? They were talking. Who shall go? Who shall I send? And Isaiah said, send me. I'll go. After he realized that he was cleansed by the hot coal off the altar, his lips were cleansed. Send me. I got to thinking God's thoughts now. What about Jeremiah? Just a few pages back, chapter 1. Then the word of the Lord, this is verse number 4, came unto me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Wow. I get God's thoughts on what I'm supposed to do. Tear down the kingdom of the devil. Plant the word of God. Build people up. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get God's thinking about some of this stuff. I don't know about you, but when I made a study of all of this, I put myself to it. I said, God, I don't want to think like most men think. I want to think your thoughts. Now, the only way I can think God's thoughts is I've got to know God's thoughts. I must read them. I must study them. I must have alone time with God. And I don't know who God's talking to tonight. I don't know for sure. But I wonder if there are folks in this room who would say, you know, preacher, I need to come and get God's perspective on things too. I got to have my mind changed. I want to do something for God this next year coming that's great and fabulous and see folks saved and see lives changed. And I'm going to come to an old-fashioned altar tonight. I'm going to ask God to help me to be that kind of person. I'm going to yield myself to him. Would you stand together with me, please? Our heads are bowed for just this moment. It's 7:13. Not late. Plenty of time to come and just kneel before God just for a moment and say, God, would you just help me, please?